This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Bobby and Vinny and Salvi MVPing. That doesn't sound right at all, dude. That's why you got to make sure you write these things out. Salvador Perez and Gunn. Cannot wait, man. God, I love opening day.
Hang on a second. Did Q say he wasn't going to be listening to Vern's postgame show?
He's not tuned in. That's what he said.
He's not tuned in. So it's not going to be like Ned calling the postgame show, ripping himself?
John, you're up next on postgame show. What's going on, John?
Hey, not to jump on the Ian Kennedy thing, but really, he threw seven. He's your highest paid pitcher in that bullpen. It's opening day. Keller threw his guts out. Throw Ian out there in the ninth. Get the win and go home. It's not about rust on these other. They came in the ninth rusty. They walked what, three or four batters.
It was four.
We got Yosted. We were a double gapper away from losing this game with two out and the bases loaded in the ninth. And because these guys need work, get the win on opening day. Give Keller his win. He earned it. Use your $17 million pitcher. He only threw seven pitches in the eighth. What possible explanation? I mean, they lose 3-2 on a rainy Saturday night and the bullpen blows it. Nobody cares. This was opening day, Ned. Win this game. Go with your best. That's all I got to say.
So, I appreciate the call.
So Ned calling in, ripping himself as John to the postgame show, and then Q's not going to listen?
That's great.
They got Yosted.
It's opening day.
But those will be the calls. Maybe not from the skipper at that point in time. But
yeah, I don't know if you can like not do a Q voice if you're Q. It's just so like
Q's hard to do.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a hard voice. Ned was not. I mean, obviously, you know, guy tried to disguise himself as Ned. Hi, I'm John.
Right. So it is opening day, but also it is a return to college basketball March Madness. By the way, we do have a thanks coach on the text line.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That pass isn't anything special, by the way.
Oh, God.
Most high school players can do that. It was still a great pass, just not something that hasn't been done or seen before.
That's why Brooke Lopez dropped his jaw and just drudgingly walked to the other end.
Right.
Jeez, man.
But college basketball does return tonight. So, like, I know you have the soccer game after the game.
But for a lot of us that don't have children and are degenerates like myself and Mac, they're going to go straight from sport to sport. The first game tonight is at 6:09. It is BYU and Alabama. This is the game of the day. And luckily, it's not at
9:09.
But 6:09 is when this game starts. It is a 5.5-point spread for Alabama to cover that. And the over-under, 175.5.
Unbelievable.
So if I were to tell you what I would do in this game, I would bet BYU plus 5.5, and okay. I would take the under of 175.5. I mean, 175.5 is a lot
of
points.
That's a big number in college basketball.
Now, these guys don't play defense. These teams put up points. That's what Alabama's done, right? We remember the Missouri game, the way they lost. It was, what, 101 to, like, 98 or something like that?
Yeah.
And then Missouri ended up winning two games the rest of the season. But again,
and BYU shoots threes
nonstop.
Everybody shoots threes. Do they make them?
Because I remember when BYU beat Kansas and Lawrence, I think this year, and everybody's like, BYU, Cam, like, just wait and watch BYU this year.
Wait and watch them next year with that $7 million player.
Mm-hmm. Right. So BYU Bama kicks things off. I think this is where the madness begins because these are the teams, right? This is why everybody said it's chalk. This is where the tournament's going to get good because everybody is about as equal as you can get. And I know, Dusty, obviously, we're getting into the Sweet 16. But BYU-Bama is going to be electric, and it starts off at 6:09. It flows right into the next game, which will start probably around halftime of that game, which is Florida-Maryland, right? Big, bad Florida, the team that a lot of people are taking to the finals to win it all at the SEC.
Yep.
Florida carries a 6.5-point win margin. Or a spread. I don't know where to go on this one. Maybe you do, Mac. Maybe you do, Bob. But like Maryland, they seem like a team of hope and destiny.
Yeah,
after that.
I'm with you. Maryland's a hope and destiny team. Stay away.
They're the team, you know, ACC. Like, is the ACC dead? You know, it's Duke. And then it's like, don't forget about Maryland. But Florida, you know, had a test last week in that
against
game.
UConn.
Against UConn.
Almost lost that game.
You know, hope they don't screw you like they screwed us, said Hurley, except with other words.
He used the F word.
That's right.
And then his PR guy wanted to ruin some reporter's life.
Green. But that game is 6.5 Florida. Again, I think I'm taking every dog in these games tonight as a parlay. I kind of like Maryland plus 6.5. Maybe I'm off my hinges.
So here I'm going to just speak in general kind of how I viewed sports over the year term. When you have a close game like that, every team that seemingly wins a championship has one of those games where it looks like they're going to stumble. It's close early on. That may have been Florida's game against UConn. Maryland, I have a hard time picking Maryland in this game because of the way that they won. That was a hope and a prayer. They won that game. It was exciting. They probably should have beat Colorado State by more, being the Colorado State's a mid-major. Maryland isn't. They escaped that game. The Florida-UConn one, though, man, that was two big powerhouses going at each other. So that's a different one for me. So I just kind of like Florida to win this thing tonight. And I wouldn't be surprised if Florida ended up making it to the Final Four.
I mean, anybody would be.
No, I don't think anyone would be. I've got Florida winning it all, but I will say the first two.
They're winning the entire thing.
Yeah, I've got them winning it all, sadly. I hate to say that.
Why is that sadly, though?
I'm a Tennessee fan. That's
so
why,
what, though? I mean, that's your big rival. But.
Yes, exactly. I would say I would also take the -6.5 the +6.5 for Maryland to cover. I think Florida, they had that rough one against UConn. The first game, they weren't great either. I think they're going to win this game. They've got the best point guard or one of the best point guards in the nation. But, yeah, I like Maryland right now. This is fun. They got momentum.
They're fun. That Queen kid can play, man. He's fun to watch. He's fun to listen to.
Freshman.
Like, you root for guys like
that.
Yes,
that's what college basketball is about.
Where's he going to go next year? Who's going to give him a big NIL deal?
Exactly.
And then next year, Florida gets a 7'9 sophomore to start for them.
A sophomore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Olivier Lou or something like that. Mm. I don't know.
Olivier Vernon?
There it is. Yep.
Olivier Vernon? He is in his sophomore season. The sophomore album is what Vern's calling this season. It all melts together. We move on after those two games are out. And then it's 8:39. It's our guy, Cooper Flagg, going up against Zona.
Duke
is a 9.5-point favorite. How real is Arizona? That's almost a disrespectful line. I know Duke has won multiple games this year by 20 points, most in the country. They're insane. Knipple, Flagg. Shire's got this team rolling.
Shire's not getting enough credit, I don't think, right?
He's still kind of in that Coach K shadow, and the further he goes in, the lower and less that shadow becomes.
I mean, think about that. You took over for the greatest basketball coach of all time.
Hey,
and
John Wooden wants to have a conversation.
Well, let's talk about errors here for a second. Okay. It's a little bit different than when John Wooden was coaching.
Fair point.
A lot different than when John Wooden was coaching, quite frankly. But I think when you're looking at Coach K being the greatest of all time, you never want to be that guy that follows that guy. And John Shire has just taken over, and like this thing has gone off without a hitch. It's crazy. Like, I don't know that you've seen a better succession plan in sports, really, yeah, than what seriously. I mean, from a coaching standpoint. Obviously, Alex Smith, the Patrick Mahomes will have a conversation with you, but you never see from a great coach turn it over and the guy just continues the greatness.
Yeah, you never want to be Gerard Mayo. You want to be
who?
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you never want to be what is it, Antonio Pierce? You want to be Pete Carroll?
Yeah, yes.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. You never want to be the guy taking over for the guy. Like Matt Nagy's going to have a hell of a time taking over for Andy Reid, right? Like no matter what he does, you know, it's not going to be as good as Andy Reid. Right. I mean, whoever takes over for Q is going to have a hell of a time if they continue this winning type of stuff. Who's taking over for Bill Self? Like, Bill Self took over for Roy Williams and made the program better. Roy did not take over for Dean Smith.
But it was a tough first 2 years for Bill. Bucknell and Bradley started his career off in Kansas.
The first year they went to the Elite Eight.
Oh, okay.
Then it was the next two that they, you're only doing it with Roy's guys. And now Bill's the greatest coach that's ever walked.
Even though Roy won one with Matt Doherty's guys. Either way, I will not get in that discussion. And then the last game of the night is Texas Tech and Arkansas. Might be the second best game of the day.
Yeah.
9:09.
This might be the best game of the night.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to watch
this. I mean,
I think
BYU-Bama will be the fireworks. Like you get that. I mean, that's a hell of an appetizer. That's like the quesadilla, the wings, the mozzarella sticks. Mm. And then you get the prime ribeye, you know, the bone-in cowboy-style ribeye at the end of the night at 9:09. Texas Tech, Arkansas. You get Calipari trying to knock off another team that maybe he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
As Texas Tech, what, the 2 seed? 3 seed.
3 seed.
3 seed going against
Cal. I don't care,
the
man.
Underdog.
Let's go.
And Texas Tech is a -5.5. So if I was ever going to take a favorite, this would be the game I would take the favorite because I think that maybe this is too much for Arkansas.
Yeah.
But again, they beat St. John's. They beat Kansas. Those are two teams that, you know.
Maybe beat Bill Self and you beat Rick Pitino.
Yeah. And now you take on Texas Tech where you're a 5.5-point dog.
Whoever their coach happens to be.
But, you know, I think a lot of people might take BYU outright. On the money line, that's a good bet. I think it's a. I don't know if it's a safe bet, but that's the gamble of it. But 5.5 is Bama's favorite. 6.5 is Florida's favorite. 9.5 for Duke and 5.5 for Texas Tech. But again, those lines outside of the Duke one, this should be where the madness happens, right?
This is where you should see good games.
Is this where we see the Cooper Flagg game? Is this the game where Cooper Flagg just takes over and has the 25-8-8? You know, is this like the, okay, this is why this kid is the story of basketball. This is why he's the National Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Again, this is the first slate of the Sweet 16. And then tomorrow is the other four games of the 8 teams involved to see who can go on.
Well,
so
I just think I'm rooting for Cal because it's good for the game to have him there. Arkansas and John Calipari is a better story than anything Texas Tech can put out there. This is also the time of the year where the KU fans will say, now that we're eliminated, I'm rooting for the league. I'm not. I don't care about any of these teams in the Big 12, especially BYU. In Arizona, who I don't even know. So I'm going Bama, Florida, Duke, Arkansas, and I'll probably end up at 2-2.
Exactly. I think for storylines, that's the best too.
Right. Yeah.
I'd agree. I'll go with him.
I think the parlay I would do is all the dogs with the points.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You know, I think, I don't know, maybe the only one I would question is can Zona play with Duke? That's the only one I have. Can they cover 9.5? But I mean, getting beat by 10 points in the Sweet 16, it's not a lot of respect on your brand.
I agree.
Right there. We got this far to get this far.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. You lose by 10?
Nah. If you took everyone with the points, plus 1163 on FanDuel right there.
Plus 1163? Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Okay.
It's a nice return. Do it.
Do we like that?
Why not?
I don't hate it.
No, it's no different than any other.
10 to win 110?
Let's do it.
All right. Coming up on the other side, a guy you never had to gamble on because you know it was the truth. It's the greatest Royals baseball player in the history of the franchise. Number 5, but number 1 on the roster. It's George Brett. He'll join us on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
No doubt, baby.
Little Kenny Chesney.
I believe it's Alabama.
Oh.
That song makes you want to put down some Coors Lights, I'll tell you that much. Get those things on ice before we get to the parking lot. No introduction needed, but we're going to give you one anyway. The number one Royals player in the franchise's history, one of a dear friend of the show, George Brett, joins us now. George, God, what a great day today is, right?
Well, you can't say Coors Light at 7 in the morning, can you?
Who can't? What do you mean you can't say it at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Look, that is my favorite beer of all time, and it's 7 in the morning, and I have never had a beer at 7 in the morning, and I'm not going to start today.
All right. 7:15, 7:20 maybe? Push it a little bit longer now.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right?
Yeah. I got to fly over to Europe, I think, to have one.
That's right.
Yeah. So how excited are you, man? Like, I got kind of the vibe last week being down there for a little bit and seeing the boys in blue and a little spring action. Like, everybody's ready to go. Everybody's feeling good. Like, the expectations high. How are you feeling?
I have very high expectations, Stephen. A lot more than last year. You know, last 2 years ago, they won 56 games, and there wasn't a lot of expectation. They ended up winning 30 more games, and now everybody's expecting that to happen. Well, guess what? They're good enough to win that in a tough division, and you know, a tough league. You play everybody, so it's going to be tough to go out there. Excuse me, I'm just getting up. I'm making my coffee.
Oh, I thought that was a beer getting poured into a glass mug.
No. And it's going to be tough, but they're good. They're good. Other teams are good too. They're going to have to play well to win. It's not going to be a walk in the park, but I was very, very impressed with everybody all spring.
George, I want to ask you something because we talked about it earlier with Bobby Witt Jr. I think my expectations every year now, and I don't think it's high expectations. It's kind of the same thing with Mahomes, and maybe you had this as well when you were going through your career and you hit that sort of superstar status. But like, I think every year Bobby Witt Jr. should be an MVP candidate, 1, 2, or 3, whether it's, you know, in the top 3 or top 2 or he's number 1. But I think we see the undoubted, no questions asked, an MVP's type of season for Bobby Witt Jr., who did exceptional last year. And we get into another year of Bobby Witt Jr. What say Mr. Brett?
Well, I'm going to expect the same thing. I mean, I remember the first year I hit 300. My first full year in the – no, second full year in the major leagues, I hit 300, and Hal McCray came up and said, "Oh, man, you're screwed now." And I go, "What do you mean I'm screwed?" He says, "The Royals are going to expect you, and everybody's going to expect you to hit 300. And I said, "Hal, I'm going to expect it, too. I've proven to myself I can, so I'm going to expect it myself." Bobby Witt's year last year was one of, oh, my God, one of few ever done in the major leagues for a kid that age. And, you know, I'm sure Bobby has high expectations, and we all do of him. That's why the Royals gave him that contract. But he's the type of guy that can handle it. I really do. And, you know, I just did Stephen St. John's show this morning before you guys. I'm still screwed up on this time lapse. I was in Arizona for 3 months, mm-hmm. and I came back. So it's 2 hours earlier. Normally I get up at 6 o'clock every day, and that phone rang in the bedroom, in the bathroom, and I'm going, who the hell's calling me? And it was him. So my mind's still a little foggy. I've been up 15 minutes. But he's the type of guy, I think, that can do it. I really do. They were talking about some letter he wrote and some website or something. I've never heard of it. They forwarded it to me. I'm going to read it about how he was meant to play baseball and stuff, which I really believe he was. He's such a natural. He was meant to be in Kansas City. I think that's a natural, too. Hopefully he lasts his whole contract here and plays 20 years here like I did. All my records will be thrown down the window, but it's not bad to come in second to someone like that. But he also said that he tried too hard against the Yankees last year. That's what they were saying. Well, that happens in certain situations, and he's going to learn from that. It's going to make him a better player.
Yeah,
You've
always mentioned that, George, the case of the try too hards. And when you go out there and you try too hard, you don't. You know, you just kind of fail at that.
You try easier.
Yeah,
you
right?
You try easier because you try too hard, you put too much tension in your hands and too much tension in your body, and then your swing's not as fluid. So you got to try easier to release all that tension. And it's like anything. First time I played in Yankee Stadium, I was scared to death, you know. Get 56,000 people, and they're not friendly to you, and they kind of make you wonder about your abilities because they're yelling such obscenities at you, chants and stuff, which they did to him, mm-hmm. the same thing they did to me. And then finally, I just took it as a compliment because they're not doing it to the guy hitting ninth. They're doing it to me. So I took that as a compliment, and I think Bobby's going to learn a lot from that. That's going to make him a better player.
Yeah, so what do you tell him if you do have these conversations with him about, okay, that was a great year last year. You have now that expectation. Like, how do you deal with that expectation? Or is he a kid where you don't even have to have those conversations with?
Well, I'm going to go down. I have this conversation with Mikel Garcia. He and I have really developed a special friendship. And every day I see Mikel, I walk up to him, I introduce myself. I say, hi, I'm George Brett. And he says, hi, I'm Mikel Garcia. And I said, do me a favor, be the best player Mikel Garcia could be. Don't try to be anybody else. And I'm going to tell that to Bobby Wood today. I'm going to tell him, be the best player you can be. Don't try to do things you're not capable of. And just go out and play baseball. Have fun and play baseball. That's all you got to do, and you'll be successful.
George, he's not on the roster yet, but I know the future is bright for the young kid named Jack Caglione. So I want to bring this up. I'm sure you had a conversation with him this spring. What did he do for you, like with your eyeballs, when you see that specimen of a 6'5", 250-pound kid, 22 years old, all the power, the story of this spring? Did you have a conversation with him? And if so, how did that go?
I had many conversations with him. I sat with him in the dugout a lot of games and watched him take swings in the cages, watched him take swings on the field and batting practice, watched him play first base. But I'll just tell you a little story of something I noticed about him, which will tell you a little bit about him, okay? When guys are sitting in the dugout, you know, nowadays we used to just sit in the dugout. That's all there was just a long bench kind of, and you'd sit there and watch the game. Nowadays, they have railings, and everybody sits on the railing, and some guys go down and sit on the bench. When Jack Caglione came up, everybody in our dugout was on the railing. When Jack Caglione came up, everybody in the other dugout was on the railing. There weren't guys sitting in the back below, you know, playing grab ass or whatever they do in the dugout, looking at their iPads, looking at their at-bats or something. Everybody was on the top step because they didn't want to miss his swing. And it that showed me something. For a kid that's never played in the big leagues to have that much fanfare and that much awe about him, it kind of reminds me a little bit about the Bo Jackson. When Bo Jackson was hitting, nobody went to the bathroom. Nobody went to get some popcorn. Nobody went up there to get that Coors Light that you guys are talking about at 7 in the morning. Everybody wanted to wait for Bo to hit. And it's funny, when Bo, after Bo hit, you would see masses of people getting up out of their seats to go to the bathroom because nobody wanted to see him. Jack Caglione reminds me of that.
So what constitutes a good game of grab ass? We hear that all the time.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but they're just down there screwing around, throwing seeds at each other, you know, whatever they're doing down there,
right?
Talking, figuring out where they're going to go have dinner tonight, and or, you know, telling people about the dinner they had last night or whatever.
So but, you were with Gene Watson in spring training then?
They're just not paying attention to the game. But when Jack came up, everybody paid attention to the game.
Yeah, we saw him on Saturday get in at bat. May have been Friday, get in at bat. And he got rung up for the pitch clock violation. And everybody in the crowd booed the umpire because everybody just wanted to see this kid hit.
Yes, that's true. It's true. It's amazing. It's spring training games. You know, if he didn't start a game, he would come in the fifth or the sixth, and people leave in the seventh or eighth. But if Jack Caglione was scheduled to bat in the eighth or ninth inning, people stayed in their seat. They would fight the traffic. The traffic was worth waiting in, leaving a game in surprise to see Jack Caglione hit in the bottom of the ninth if we were losing.
No doubt.
Speaking of that, do you believe he'll make it on this roster this year, or do you think it is another year until we see the superstar here in Kansas City?
I think if he goes out and he's productive, they'll find a place for him.
Right.
That's my opinion. I don't know if it's JJ's opinion. I don't know if it's John Sherman's opinion. I don't know if that's Matt Quatero's opinion. But I think if he goes out there and he's productive and they think if everybody that's going to make that decision believes he can help this team win games in the big leagues, they'll bring him up.
What did you see, though, out of him? Do you think he's ready to go? Do you think he needs some more time?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to go down there and play a little bit, but yeah. How long will that be? If he gets off to a great start, I'd bring him right up. I think they're putting him in the outfield. That was a talk during spring training. Once he got sent down, they were going to put him in the outfield. He did play outfield all through high school, so he's got an understanding of how the game's played. He wanted to be an outfielder in college, but you know, when he was pitching once a week, they didn't throw 98 miles an hour. They wanted him to save his arm, and they put him at first base. He's an excellent first baseman, too. So they're going to put him in the outfield, from my understanding. And, you know, obviously our outfield needs a little help from last year. Hopefully these guys have a better offensive season than they did last year, all three of them. But if he's productive and he can handle the outfield situation, yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to bring him up at all.
George, what do you...
But I don't make those decisions. That's something that somebody else does, but I
wish
give
you
my
did.
Input and they can do with it what they want. And if we're struggling in the outfield again this year and he's off to a good start, I'll go up to JJ one day sitting with him and I'll say, hey, why don't we bring him up?
Yeah,
why not?
Exactly.
Why
like,
not?
What'd you think of MJ down there at spring training?
I liked his approach a little bit better. He got rid of the big high kick. He's got his hands in a better position to start a swing. Every once in a while, it's really, really good. And then every once in a while, once it goes back to that last year swing. And I've had conversations with him telling him that, hey, if I was you, I would just take my top hand off all the time. And he's just a hard guy to get through to. And, you know, hopefully his way works. It didn't work last year, in my opinion. And it worked some in spring training this year. He still strikes out a lot, But when he hits the ball, he hits it awfully hard. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no
He's
doubt.
He's a strong kid. He's a real strong kid. We just got to cut down those strikeouts. That's all we got to do.
I love Jonathan India, George, at the top of the lineup. Like,
so
that may be my new favorite player.
God. Oh, my God. He did everything we could have asked for in the trade. And giving up Brady Singer was tough, I'm sure, for the Royals. But to get a guy, when I talked to him, I have a deal. I would say, how many home runs did you hit? He said, last year I hit 14, George. And I said, okay, out of those 14, how many did you try to hit? And he said, none. I said, okay, let me ask you another question. How many times did you try to hit a home run? He said, none. I said, wow, you don't hear that from many people. Normally, when a guy hits 14 home runs, I'll ask him, how many home runs did you hit last year? 14. How many of those did you try to hit? None. How many times did you try to hit a home run? 100. So you're 0 for 100 trying, 14 for 14 not trying. Why do we try to hit home runs? And he was the complete opposite. He's the only player I've ever, ever asked that question to and came back, and that was the answer I got. So he knows himself, and you know, He knows he's a good player. He can play third. He can play second. He played a little left field this year in spring training. He's going to play. He'll play. But we just kind of find a place because Massey had a great spring too. And Mikel Garcia played center field. He played left field. So I don't know what the lineup's going to be today. I don't know if they posted it. But it sure is going to be fun to see him hitting leadoff. I think he hit 360 in spring training. He walked a lot, hit some home runs, and just a good, good guy to have in front of Bobby Witt. He's a real good guy to. We'll have some guys on base. We'll have his on base percentage last year was, I don't know what it was, but it was a lot better than our on base percentage guy last year. And it's be fun to see Bobby Witt hit with somebody on him the first inning this year.
George, is someone like you that just like loved the game, became the game, and it just became life. Like, I assume that opening day is very special for somebody that is, you know, a baseball player in the big leagues. Like, what did opening day mean to you, and what kind of like going through, like, do you have a memory or is there a moment on an opening day that just always sticks in the back of your head?
Well, it's the grind starts today. It starts 162 games, and you just want to stay as healthy as you possibly can. That's something that I had trouble doing. I had numerous knee injuries and shoulder injuries that kept me out 6 to 8 weeks at a time. But the favorite memory, I think, would probably have to be 1986 when we took the field at home here in Kansas City, and we got our World Series rings from the 85 season. That's something that, you know, you play 21 years in the big leagues, I think I had 19 opening days because I didn't start, 20 opening days. They all run together. There's no real special moment that you, not one special game, nothing really stands out. But I'll tell you what, that 1986 was something special.
Yeah, 40 years now we're celebrating that. 10 years already celebrating 2015. Can you believe how fast those last 10 years have gone?
Well, the last 10 years, I mean, that went fast.
Yep.
But man, 40 years ago, that seems like a long, long time ago. I mean, 40 years ago, I'm 71. So 40 years ago, I was 31 years old. So it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
All right. I want to leave you with this. You're in Cooperstown. Salvi's getting close. What more does he need to do to solidify his spot in Cooperstown?
I think if Salvi can play two more years and have 2 years very similar to what he did last year, he'll be a lock. I really do. I mean, he is He is something for, I don't even know how old Salvi is. What is he, 36?
I have no idea.
I have no idea how old he is, you know, but I think he's like 36. But if he could play two more years, I 34. Mean, you put up his career numbers against other catchers in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's right there. He's right there. So wouldn't it be great to have another guy that played his whole career in Kansas City be a member of the greatest fraternity of all time? You know, it would be unbelievable.
Be cool. It'd be really cool. 34 is what Max says. He's 34 years
34?
Old.
34? Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's got some good years ahead of him. He's got some good years ahead of him. So, well, yeah, hopefully he makes it.
Enjoy the game, George. Enjoy the season, and we'll catch up again soon.
Get those mountains blue, okay, George.
I got some in the refrigerator. Don't worry. I know the blue.
There you go.
Too early in the morning for me, fellas.
No doubt about it. Well, thanks for the time, George. We appreciate it.
Okay. We'll see you.
George Brett there joining us here. Man, a lot of things stick out. Caglione is rail line material. And what we mean by that is you don't go take a piss. You stand on the rail and you wait.
Yeah.
You don't go home if it's, you know, man on first, you're down by two and he's getting ready to come up. Like you don't leave. You stay in your seat. You don't go anywhere. And then the relationship with Michael Garcia is interesting.
Yeah, that is good. I like that relationship right. with him and you know, making sure every single day you're not trying to do too much. And it was kind of like the same conversations I think he had with Mike Moustakas back in the day, because we always had that be Mike Moustakas, right? Don't go out there and try to be George Brett. Don't go out there and try to be somebody you're not, because the minute you try to do that, the minute you fail. And I think with Michael Garcia, there's obviously a lot of pressure on him this year to stay on the big league roster with Jack Caglione kind of barking at the tail. But I'll be honest with you, I think ultimately when you look at who's under the most pressure this year, it's MJ Melendez. I told you that a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. I think MJ's on a short leash, and you said about June 15th, and I don't know, just hearing George kind of talk about it, going, well, he wants to do what he wants to do, you know, let's see if it works for him, right? One of those type of things, and you're like, ooh, okay. So they're trying to get MJ Melendez to kind of change some things up a little bit, but if he's not willing to listen and accept the coaching and the kind of the moving forward, and if he's not willing to do what he needs to do to get production at the big league level, then he isn't going to be long for the world. And so the leash may be a lot shorter with MJ Melendez if he's not doing what they're asking him to do and he's not having, you know, the production that they want as well.
Only 20 catchers are in the MLB Hall of Fame. I believe there will be 21 here soon when Yadier Molina goes in.
Yep.
And then maybe 22 once Salvador Perez gets in, because people ask, well, you know, why is Salvador Perez not a lock to be in the Hall of Fame? Look, he is...
What is he, like 12 home runs short of
27?
27.
Which he'll get that this year, I believe. I think he'll hit 27 bombs this year if he stays healthy. Plus, they've gotten him to where he can be a DH first baseman. Freddie Fermin helps with that as well.
Right.
I think if he gets the 300 home runs, that's a lock. He's going to get some accolades that Salvador Perez can knock in this year. He can get to 300 home runs. He's 27 away. And he is 84 RBI away from 1,000. I would assume that if you have 300 home runs and 1,000 RBIs in your career and all the gold gloves, a World Series MVP, a champion, that's probably what locks you in. So George says, you know, 1 to 2 more years or 2 to 3 more years of what he can do. If he hits those sort of career milestones this year, I think that locks him
in. If he goes 27 and 84 this year, he pretty much locks that in. It's 300 homers and 1,000 RBIs. So he needs to be 27 homers. Like, the countdown will be on.
Yeah.
We'll obviously keep coming back to that all season long, because I think those are big numbers. I think those are significant numbers for Salvador Perez.
It's a hell of a year, too.
Yeah, it is. 27 and 84. If he does that, my God, they're going to definitely win the division. But you have to also look around and see, you know, if Salvador Perez is doing this and they're never having success, doesn't mean as much. He has had success. He's been now on two different waves of Royals teams making it into the postseason. He has postseason success. He has one of the biggest hits in postseason history, not just Royals history. That wild card game was one of the biggest moments in baseball. People talk about that all the time. So you've got those moments. He's got the moments. He's got the hardware. And he's this close to having the numbers that will shoe him in automatically into Cooperstown.
He also has the personality.
And the personality.
And that, I know a lot of people say, oh, that doesn't take... Yes, it does.
Yes, it matters. It really does. These voters, man, if you're nice to these voters, they will vote for you. We've seen it over the years. So-and-so didn't get enough votes for the Hall of Fame. Well, he wasn't nice to the reporters, you know, that kind of stuff.
So we'll do the Sal Milestones countdown here on Fesco and Dusty. He has hit 27 home runs in his career at least 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. He did it in 2017 and 2018. He went 27 and 80, 27 and 80. Okay.
Wow.
2021 was the monster year. He hit 48 home runs and 121 RBI. And then the last time he hit 27 home runs and at least 87 RBIs, last year.
He
hit 27 and 104. So, I mean, hey, 27 home runs and 84 RBIs behind the record.
If he stays healthy, he'll do it this year.
Right.
Yeah. Is that the hardest Hall of Fame to make it in baseball?
For sure.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
football, I think, has gotten harder.
Yeah.
I think both are very. I don't know anything about hockey or basketball.
Well, basketball's a joke.
Basketball, like
the people in the Hall of Fame.
Chris Mullin's in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, now.
NBA Jam Hall of Fame, too. Yeah.
Chris Mullin was a hell of a player back
then. With an aggressive haircut.
But very. But they all go into the Hall of Fame in basketball before they're done. At least that Naismith one up in Massachusetts. Is that the one that Bill Self's in and like Tom Izzo and all these guys before they retired, which. There's something to be said for that. Put them in while they're living and, you know,
can see
cognizant and all that kind of stuff. But I think football and baseball are very, very tough. And I think with baseball, they need to open it to more than just the stale writers out there. Like newspapers don't exist anymore. And that's who's still voting for the Hall of Fame, which is baseball in a nutshell.
No doubt about it. You know this sound, right?
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning. Like a dairy cow.
Oh, yes!
That should let you know when you hear that sound that it is coming up. It's Smash or Pass, and it's brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nall, and 135th and Metcalf. So when you hear that sounder on the other side, be the, we'll call it fifth, because George Brett was on the show, the fifth caller, and you'll talk to Mac, and he'll get you set up with some Booth Creek Wagyu. Of course, it is Smash or Pass on the other side. We'll get to it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Mac, Dusty, and Steven. I'm sorry, Bob, as we got that earlier. Shout out to George Brett. He joined us. If you missed that interview, we'll run it back at 9 o'clock. Not everybody gets to work the same time. Not everybody's in their car at the same time. Gates to the parking lot open up at the K at 9. If you're there, call in. I want to know why.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, the parking gates open. I think they said 12 or 12:30, the gates to the stadium open, 2:30 pregame, and then 3:10 first pitch.
Woo. Over under 3:10.
Oh, it'll be absolutely right at 3:10.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they're good at
that. I was thinking 3:11.
Nah, 3:11 would be good. But no, they'll be right there.
Okay.
They'll be right there. Baseball's good. Football's good. Every football game, 12:02 kickoff. You know, they all start at the same exact time.
When basketball's the one that.
Yeah, basketball, we're all those things can't start on time.
You think that game's starting at 9:09 tonight?
No chance.
9:21.
Have you watched the last 5 minutes of NCAA tournament game? It's a commercial break every 10 seconds.
No doubt about it. Don't forget, Cody and Gold, they're going to be outside or as close as they can get to Gate D, so where the players enter, if you're familiar with Kauffman Stadium. That's where they're going to be out doing their show from 10 to 2. Loaded with guests.
Nice.
I believe JJ's going to come by and sit down. Vern's going to go by and sit down. And then they'll have Vinny Pasquantino on the show as well. Joining them today from Cody and Gold. Those guys ready to rock and roll. They'll be out there. So normally it's windy and cold. Today they got blessed with
it. Yeah, they did. Great day to sit out there. Yeah.
I'm jealous, man. I'd love to do the show out there, but there wouldn't be anybody there.
Right. We've done that before on opening day where you're out there in the stadium and there's nothing more peaceful than a baseball stadium with nobody in it. And I'm speaking from, you know, a lot of experience doing that and doing the opening day or just being in a spring training ballpark before anybody shows up and whatnot. Like, it's peaceful. It's beautiful. It's romantic. It's a religious experience just to kind of hear the fountains in the background. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of anticipate and then it fills up with people. Like, it's just it's a great thing. I miss being out there for opening day, but like, there's really no reason to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Mac, take the keys and drive us through Smasher Pass, which is obviously brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, now with two locations, 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf. As we get into Smash or Pass, just remember, you want to hear the sounder that we played before the break to have your chance be caller number 5 to win that prize and talk to Mac. Take it away, Mr. Morey.
Smash or Pass baseball theme today. Our guy Dan Revell went over basically every big new food item on different.
Even if they're real or fake.
Even if they're real or fake. Yeah, 4.5 million views for a fake basket of hot dogs.
For a fake basket of hot dogs. Can you believe that, right? Like, Revell's like, oh my God, this isn't real.
It's AI.
4.5 million views of that.
We got to be careful. Okay.
Did anybody think they were getting 12 hot dogs for $12.99 at the ballpark, though? Come on.
We will get to a helmet full of another kind of food later here in this Smasher Pass.
Well, damn well better.
New at Astros games, the Daddy Mac Dog. Footlong, you know I'm smashing. Footlong Angus beef frank, chopped brisket, macaroni and cheese, barbecue sauce, and a crispy dill pickle, $15.79.
How big is that thing?
Massive. This looks hefty.
It's a massive Mac.
Oh, it says footlong. Okay.
Yeah.
Men's 12, wieners.
Yeah.
Can you split that? Like, they have this thing.
Like, start on one end and have your person start on the other?
No, they have this thing in Texas called the boomstick, which is like a 3-foot long hot dog.
They have
right?
that at Flora Farms, too.
Yeah, they do. and so we got it when we did our baseball trip down there. And, right. like, then we cut it all up and split it. It was not good.
Really?
It was terrible.
Damn.
It was like, how do I describe the hot dog? It tasted like pink sludge, basically.
Ew.
You know, like one of those hot dogs, like the ones that they fill with the cheese.
Ew.
Like it's
oh,
just,
those are great.
It just was not a good tasting hot dog. And so the whole thing was like, ugh. And then you're sitting there going, this sucks, man. I feel like
what do they call it? Pink slime, I think is the
pink,
actual name.
Yeah, but, yeah. but it was
sludge,
like it was
slime.
It was more of a sludge than a slime. This thing looks pretty good, I guess, but I mean, I would split that with somebody.
I mean, that's just one of those things that, like, yeah, I would smash for sure, but at a baseball game, like, you're sitting in a seat, you're already, like,
right.
you know, kind of, you know, tight and snugged in there, like, you're smashing that thing, like, you need some space, man, you need that elbow room, or you eat that wiener with a fork. And I don't know if, like, you can
smash.
Possibly do that. I think it's like when you see somebody cutting a pizza slice up with a fork, you're like,
yeah, come on, dude, what are you doing?
Like, what's going on? So, yeah, obviously smash. But at a baseball game, maybe if I'm in, like, the Diamond Club sitting at, like, a desk.
You got to have
room.
A table or something or stand up in the outfield and eat it with a table in front of you.
Mm-hmm. And don't make eye contact.
Definitely not. There's going to be brisket falling
Who comes
everywhere.
Up with this stuff? They just start throwing stuff on top of hot dogs. Goes, that'll work, Jim.
I think they get everybody chiefed up in a van. They're like, all right, give us your best option for ballpark food.
True.
Yeah, I mean, who says no? You know, be great. Hot Cheetos covered a corn on the cob.
That's how they had to have come up with that pulled pork Reese's peanut butter cup thing a couple of years ago.
Better have a glass of milk.
Now I'm just picturing Tony Romo being part of coming up.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't know, Jim.
Look out, Jim. They've got a foot-long dog with cheddar cheese. Look out.
All right, new at Philly's game, s'mores quesadilla, Nutella, mini marshmallows, graham crackers, crumbled in a crispy flour tortilla served with a chocolate dipping sauce, $11.
You had me at Nutella.
I knew once I said Nutella, Bob was in.
Yeah, that's the...
I didn't hear anything else. You had me at Nutella.
What is it? Hazelnut? Is that what it
hazelnut
is?
Chocolate,
hazelnut
chocolate.
Yeah, sign me up. I mean, I'm not a. I need like one little triangle, and that would be it before I would pass it along because I'm not a big sweets guy. Like at Longboards, they have a s'mores wrap.
Ooh,
if you ever want to get into that, if you've been in the garage for a while.
Finally, I'm one of those guys who can't wait to get to work in the morning, like a dairy cow.
Yes!
There's your sounder. Be call number 5 for Mac Morning. He'll get you set up with some Booth Creek Wagyu that's brought to you by, or Smasher Pass, which is brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu.
Absolutely. Start calling. All right. New at Pirate Stadiums, the Polish Cannonball. Egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage, bacon, cheddar cheese, and an herb cream dip.
I'm smashing that in the
smashing
in the first month of the season. I don't know if I'm eating that in July or August.
Yeah, in the heat.
Yeah, I don't know about
but
that.
But they're like just fried balls is what they look like.
Smash.
Yeah, I'd smash that. Yeah.
That looks really good to me. Okay, I think this is Yankees pastrami sandwich this year.
Yes, absolutely.
It just looks like a bunch of pastrami and maybe some mustard.
Yeah, it looks outstanding.
You know who's not smashing that? That guy that tried to steal the baseball out in right field.
It's like a triple-decker sandwich.
For life. Yeah, yes, I love pastrami sandwiches, man.
That's great.
God.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, yep,
smash on that.
Yeah, I'd give that a shot. And then new at Yankees game this year, tiramisu and a helmet.
I'm not a huge tiramisu guy,
really?
But I would absolutely try that.
Yeah, I'm all
sucking
in.
Those lady fingers and eating that stuff. So I love tiramisu.
I love it, too. This looks so good.
Is that a normal-sized helmet, too?
It looks pretty big.
It looks like a big helmet,
yeah,
right?
That's
a lot.
It's a lot. No, it's definitely like two people for sure.
Oh, it's more than that, man. Like
it's one
that's,
person.
Yeah. He's like, I don't need help.
Get out there with a Joker face and just whipped cream. You know how I got these scars? Helmet tiramisu, baby.
How? I mean, like. And that looks like a massive dessert.
If it's, if it's New York Stadium, you know that thing's like $36.
Oh, easily.
But you know what? If you're splitting with four people,
why
so
not?
What?
Yeah, why not?
It's $10 a person or less than that a person. And,
hey, Craig,
and you
I didn't get that Venmo for that tiramisu from opening day. You got
that
it?
Guy. You got, you, are you a friend with that guy?
Yeah, like, I am that guy.
Oh, you are?
Haven't got your fantasy money yet. Well, I'm not really caring about it. We're week seven. No, I'm kidding. I'm always a payer.
I mean, that guy begging for the $8 on Venmo and then the guy not giving it is ridiculous. That's, but that thing right there comes with a side of like Wegovy. You know, you get that diabetes drug going into you.
Last, but certainly not least, at the Mets games, you can get 20 hot chocolate chip cookies in a bucket. It's going to be more than one person.
Warm, yes. Chocolate chip cookies.
I mean, that's a yes.
That's a yes. That
is it. Because I'm taking 15 of them home.
100%.
Because you go to the game, you eat four or five, pass a few out, still got 10 left. You go home, hit the garage,
heat
warm them back
up
in like the little oven.
I hope that thing comes with a top because I know how I am. If I have a lid and it's closed and it's under the seat, I'm fine. But if those things are open, I'm eating them all at the game.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the way I am. That's my personality. I know that.
Right. Yeah. So that is Smasher Pass here on Fesco and Dusty. It is brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, KC's best steaks, and now with two locations, 95th and Nolan, 135th in Metcalf. We get into what the odds are for the American League and where your Royals sit. We'll get into that, and you'll be surprised because it's less than plus 400. It's even less than that. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.